This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Sharitz and Shaoning. Now, amid a majority of property developers have said that they were affected by the current economic scenario in the first half of 2019, with fewer launches held while the number of unsold units remained high. Now, the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association, or REDA, they conducted their property industry survey for the first half of the year, showing that 93% of developers are affected by the current economy.
Yeah, at the same time, I think one third of them also pointed towards the rising cost of doing business, which has increased about 9%. So we're, you know, specifically speaking about compliance costs, material and labour costs, as well as land costs. So if we look at the number of unsold units, about 73% of developers reported that they have unsold unit compared to the 62% experienced second half in 2018.
Now, those with unsold units said the units amounted to less than 30% of their stock, though, and the main reason cited for the unsold lots were buyers and financing issues, followed by unreleased Bumiputra units and low demand or interest. Now, REDA President Dato' Som also believes that the high number of unsold affordable high-rise units is due to properties not meeting the proper criteria.
In the recent NAPIC report a few days ago, the bulk of the unsold units are actually below 300,000. So they say that much. Today, the mantra is no more location, location, location. It's location, product and price. Okay, you got the right location, but your product is wrong, your pricing is wrong, buyer also won't buy. So you have to get the three things right today. It's a bit more challenging for developers. So we now have to predict what the buyers want. Example, I do a project, but I don't have broadband connection. Buyer also don't want.
And that was REDA President Dato' Som Heng Chun. But despite fewer units launched, sales apparently went up to 58%. Now, that's a spike of 15% in sales performance compared to the second half of last year. REDA did say that most of these buyers, though, were first-time house purchasers who were buying to live in. Because I guess here in Asia, we still haven't gotten a shot of that mentality that after you have a job, get married, buy a house. That's the natural progression, right?
And what is notable is that the areas that did well and were in Negeri Sembilan, and they were in terrace houses, or they were either service apartments in Wangsa Maju and Petaling Jaya, which means that there is always some demand, but you've got to get the three things right, which I thought were given for property developers in the first place, which is location, product and pricing.
Yeah, so I mean, right now, some of the reason that they highlighted is the issue of financing, right? And that's one thing REDA is now proposing to the government, to allow home buyers to use more money of their EPF funds, which is currently at 30%, but they want it to push pushed higher, up to 50%, to be allowed using their second account for the EPF. Mm. So. This is what Dato' Som explaining REDA rationale for the proposal in a press conference yesterday.
Top reason for unsold units in financing and the loan rejection, they cannot get the margin of financing that they want. Since they cannot get loan, probably they have to sell the houses two or three times over before they can even get a successful buyer. That's why they say that they have in financing problem.
And that was REDA President Dato' Som Heng Chun. But there is a caveat to this, where if a home buyer utilises more than 30% of the EPF contributions for a property down payment, the additional amount must be returned to the fund if the property is sold in the future. And REDA also wants the EPF money to be directly channelled. But that's not all that REDA has been up to over the past few days, because they've made their displeasure known towards the National House Buyers Association for urging the government not to intervene with regards to unsold high-end properties. Now, the HBA Secretary General, Chang Kim Lung, said that market forces were punishing developers for not building houses suited to the domestic market, which the REDA president called careless and unreasonable. So Dato' Som says developers are not to blame for unsold units.
Which businessman would want to do a product that no consumer wants? Today I can make a cake all beautiful, but it costs 5,000. Will you buy the cake? No, ma. But if I make a $50 cake that looks just as nice, I think a lot of people will rush to buy. So I rather make the 50 ringgit cake than make the 5,000 ringgit cake. So similarly in property development as well. So we have to have the right product. So it's not a matter of we are doing only high-end.
That was Reda President Dato' Swam Heng Chun weighing in on the unsold units issue. But we've also been running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account asking you, who do you think is most to blame for the current property overhang? We've had about 240 votes. 60% said the developers are to blame. 24% said the government. 13% said it's complicated. At only 3% said the buyers.
Yeah, so if we look at some of the comments that has come in, for an example, I mean, some are... Of course, I mean, everybody's right now. If you look at this, look at the outcome of the a poll. Everybody is pointing towards the direction of the a property developer. But someone else here, Born to Rebel, is that they're pointing fingers to the banks.
Well, why is it the bank's problem? I mean, the bank, if you're talking about the end financing, I think it's having prudent banking guidelines is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't let a property bubble develop either. And if this person doesn't meet the requirements for taking a loan, they shouldn't be given one, because then later on when he can't or she or he can't service the loan, what's going to happen to the individual also?
Yeah, so buying a house is not like buying a, you know, a handbag or something like that, right? This is a major commitment. It takes major discipline for you to even save up the money and so forth. I mean, so we can't talk about you know, selling property and making it much simpler. I don't think that should be the focus. The focus should be that structurally everything is in place, a stable condition, because we don't want it to have a spillover effect over the economy. We've seen what happened in 2008 in the US, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, Daniel Hadi also weighed in on some structural reforms that need to be done drastically, he says. So he says, number one, reform effective housing government agencies addressing supply and demand, as well as median household incomes, transacted housing data, penalise even developers for holding land and houses if there's still no development or no buyers. And I think actually this is something that Singapore does, because Singapore obviously is very pressed for land. And I do believe they have a time limit on the amount of time that developers are allowed to hold a specific plot of land. I think it's about 5 years before they actually have to do something with it.
Even if the units are completed, there is a time in which they must sell it, so that in a way they kind of force the developers to, you know, lower their prices to get rid of excess stock.
Because otherwise, as time goes by, the price of land goes up, right?
Well, it's also to just make sure that the market forces are in play. Mm. Now, if you think about market dynamics, right? In a normal economic cycle, there's a boom and a bust. So if you allow things to happen, theoretically, property prices should come down if there's no sales. And then it will allow new buyers to perhaps think, I can afford it. You know, prices have come down. But in this case, Malaysian property prices haven't really gone anywhere. They've been pretty much flat for the last 2-3 years. So maybe perhaps market dynamics should be allowed to happen.
And okay, so I mean, just one more thing I think is worth looking at. So what is the way out here? I mean, there's been trying to push on every single angle. I mean, local buyers and foreign buyers. I mean, we still have some pushback on that in regards, you know, when we speak about this.
Yeah.
It's not completely...
No.
A bad idea.
No, it's not, especially for the high-end property, right? But for me, you really need to look at property on a long-term basis. One of the reasons why a property is unaffordable is because, if you think about it, our wages are also very low and our property prices are too high. So there's a complete mismatch. It's not one solution to resolve all the overhang. It requires like government to think about it. We also need to look at our employment.
We do indeed, and look at how much we're earning and how little that has grown over the past few years. But also this morning in some local headlines, there have been some findings released of an investigative audit by Ernst & Young into Lembaga Tabung Angkatan Tentera, or LTAT. And these findings unearthed significant financial irregularities and apparently weaknesses that took place under the leadership of Tan Sri Lodin Wok Kamarudin, who was the CEO who stepped down last September.
So this audit, it particularly covers during the period between the December 31st, 2017 up to December 31st, 2018. So look into the into the details. According to the audit, the 7 key findings determined as a result of the financial irregularities as well as weaknesses. So retained earnings were impacted due to overpayment of dividends. So that's number one. Now, LTAT 5-year asset returns for 2014 up to 2018 were actually lower than the the declared dividend rate. So that's resulted to LTAT paying dividend at a higher rate than it could afford. So it kind of reminds me of the whole Tabung Haji issue over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, very similar. And there's also an overstatement of LTAT's assets between 2015 and 2017. And this is due to a failure to impair one of its large investments. And an impairment would actually, impairment of 55 million ringgit would need to be made in its FY 2018 results. Due diligence was also not properly undertaken. Financial and technical due diligence exercises probably were not conducted when LTAT invested in some of these companies, especially the one with regards to the impairment of 55 million ringgit. There were also some issues with unsold property assets worth 45 million ringgit, which is 88 condominium units.
Yeah, and it's not just Tabung Haji that this reminds me of, right? Because there were a number of financial scandals that hit GLCs during the previous administration. You know, we had, of course, 1MDB, the big one. We had Tabung Haji. We also had Felda, Felcra, Mara, and all of these have cost taxpayers billions so far. Now, Tabung Haji itself was 17.8 billion. Felda was 6.3 billion. And since then, there have also been bailouts for some of these companies to the tune of 24 billion ringgit that could indeed have been used elsewhere, considering our government is deep into a financial hole at the moment. But this is one of those problems that we will continue to see developing over time, and we will bring you more information as we get it ourselves. Right now, though, we are heading into the 9 o'clock news, and after that, we'll be touching on the market end of the morning run. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.